Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, October the 17th, the United Kingdom and a European Union negotiating team agree on a Brexit deal. US bishops reject legally assisted suicide. And the voices of indigenous people are the protagonists during the Amazon Synod briefing in the Vatican. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. A Brexit deal has been agreed between UK and EU negotiating teams before a meeting of European leaders in Brussels. The two sides have been working on the legal text of a deal, but it will still need the approval of both the UK and European parliaments. I spoke to Susie Hodges about the latest Brexit development.
Well, I think nobody really expected that it would happen. The obstacles were so huge. And it was even many people saying, is Boris Johnson really interested in trying to get a deal? But there's been frantic negotiations, and now they've got this 11th hour deal. And one of the main provisions of this deal is it scraps the backstop. This was a mechanism that was designed to prevent a hard border being introduced on the island of Ireland. And this particular provision was a major stumbling point that many of the MPs in Boris Johnson's Conservative Party absolutely did not want. So they found another mechanism now. It'll keep Northern Ireland in the UK customs area, but tariffs will apply on goods crossing from mainland Britain to Northern Ireland if they're deemed to be heading further inwards to Ireland.
Now, the Democratic Unionist Party has not voted for the deal, and it probably will not vote for the deal, which would potentially scupper it, wouldn't it?
It could indeed. As things stand at the moment, they're saying they will not vote for it, and they have 10 votes in Parliament. And as you know, Boris Johnson's government does not have a majority in Parliament. And it's going to be an absolute knife-edge vote. And Parliament is having a special session on Saturday. They don't normally sit on Saturday to vote on this deal. Boris Johnson will need at least 318 votes to get the deal ratified. And as you no doubt remember, his predecessor, Theresa May, tried and failed three times to get a deal passed in Parliament. So everybody knows just how difficult this is going to be.
In Hong Kong, the parliament descended into chaos today with lawmakers dragged out by security guards for heckling leader Carrie Lam. They were demanding an inquiry into a brutal attack on a prominent human rights activist ahead of a major rally. A pro-democracy lawyer said that the knife and hammer attack, which left the activist bloodied and lying in the street on Wednesday night, was designed to intimidate protesters and incite violence ahead of Sunday's march. The second day of turmoil in the Legislative Council after Lam was forced to cut short her annual policy speech on Wednesday underscores the political rift in the city, with no end in sight to more than 4 months of anti-government protests. The bishops of the United States have expressed their appreciation for a new report that details the dangers posed by assisted suicide, especially for people with disabilities. In a statement, US bishops say the legalization of assisted suicide carries serious risks of abuse and discrimination. Devin Watkins has the details.
The legalization of doctor-assisted suicide separates people into two groups, those whose lives we want to protect and those whose deaths we encourage. Two leading U.S. bishops issued that statement in response to a report released last week by the National Council on Disability, an independent federal agency that advises the President and Congress. The report examines the effects of assisted suicide laws on people with disabilities. The authors say most people who request doctor-assisted suicide are influenced by unmet service and support needs. The Danger of Assisted Suicide Laws report calls on Congress to address these unmet needs through funding and legislation. Archbishop Joseph Naumann and Bishop Frank DeWayne say the report exposes the serious risks of abuse, coercion, and discrimination of assisted suicide. They say the division of people into those who deserve protection and those whose deaths are encouraged is unjust and seriously undermines equal protection under the law. The human rights and intrinsic worth of a person do not change with the onset of age, illness, or disability, the U.S. bishops assert. They urge all Americans to uphold the dignity of life, cherish the lives of all human beings, and work to prevent all suicides. 9 U.S. states have legalized assisted suicide, but the National Council on Disability report says state regulations often leave people with disabilities unprotected in the face of abuses. It rejects the idea that assisted suicide gives dignity. Many hold the attitude, the report says, that a person with a disability may be better off dead than alive. The bishops of the United States scrap that idea. They say that every suicide is a human tragedy, regardless of the age, incapacity, or social economic status of the individual. I'm Devin Watkins.
And French President Emmanuel Macron has warned against stigmatizing Muslims or linking the Islamic religion with the fight against terrorism. His statement came as a French woman said she was taking legal action against far-right politicians who criticized her for wearing an Islamic headscarf in public. France, the largest Muslim minority in Western Europe, has about 5 million Muslims. At the Synod for the Amazon today, participants continued their discussions in small working groups as the assembly nears the end of its second week. Following the morning session, the daily Synod press briefing highlighted the voices of the indigenous peoples themselves. Sean Patrick Lovett tells us more.
Those experiences all came directly from the Amazon region, thanks to the four guests on the panel. They included an indigenous educator from Guyana, an expert in indigenous spirituality, and a specialist in indigenous rights, both from Brazil. Miss Leah Rose Casimero coordinates a bilingual education program for Wachipan children in Guyana. In her presentation, she spoke of how education systems have been imposed on her people, along with everything else. The time has come, she said, to take our future into our own hands.
So we thought the Wapichan people, I'm Wapichan, and the Wapichan people, indigenous peoples of Guyana, we thought that maybe it's time that we take our future into our hands. And the first step we are taking is to create something better for our children in terms of education. So what we have done is to create our own materials that are suitable for our children in terms of things that they're familiar with, as well as the culture, the language, and taking into consideration our traditional knowledge as well. And our language. So our language is our main tool that we are using to teach. So it's not like being taught as a subject, but we're using it throughout. And this is what I bring to the Synod. Because the process that brought us this far for this particular project, this program, is the same thing that we are doing here with the Synod. It came about from a dialogue that took place with us, the indigenous people, with the different churches, with the Jesuits, with the Ministry of Education, and with other consultants. So in dialogue together, we came up with this idea. So I think this is something that the Synod is all about. When we respect one another as partners, when we share, we speak, and we are listened to. Because more than often, we speak as indigenous people, but not very often we are listened to.
Ms. Patricia Gualinga is an indigenous leader of the Quechua community in Sarayaku, Ecuador. In her intervention, she called for an institutional commitment to save the Amazon. The church is present in the region, she said, but needs to be even closer to the indigenous people. Ms. Gualinga, who has herself received death threats, said indigenous people are in the forefront and risk being persecuted and killed.
Un compromiso institucional para salvar la Amazonía.
Dr. Felicio de Arau Pontes Jr. is a specialist in indigenous rights who works in Brazil. He described how he provides legal protection to indigenous people living in the forests or along the rivers of the Amazon, especially when they come into conflict with development models that are imposed on the region. Father Justino Sarmento Resende is an expert in indigenous and inculturated pastoral spirituality. He spoke of giving value to traditions and cultures and invited journalists present to come to the Amazon and see for yourselves.
Indígenas nos tornamos como protagonistas, como interlocutores principais nesse novo
Finally, Archbishop Roque Palonski of Porto Velho in Brazil quoted Pope Francis' encyclical Laudato Si when it addresses the dangers of allowing cultures to disappear. Never in history have a people been so threatened as the people of the Amazon are today, he said. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
One of the participants in the Synod of Bishops for the Amazon is Canadian Bishop Lionel Gendron of Saint-Jean-Longueuil. Speaking to Vatican Radio, he pointed to similarities between Canada and the Amazon region, such as their vast dimensions, the presence of important forest ecosystems in both nations, as well as being home to numerous indigenous peoples. Bishop Gendron also said much work remains to be done to protect the land, the people, and our common home. And although his native Canada is far from the Amazon in terms of distance, he said there is much they can learn from each other.
Well, it's far in distance, but I think it's not that far. In a way, you know, in Canada, we have also large pieces of land which are with trees and which are along of this world. We also have many indigenous people whose rights are not respected often. And the land also is not respected. But what I've brought and what I've presented was about the mining companies. You know, from a global perspective and so on, apparently 50% of the mining companies in the world are Canadian. Well, they probably are not Canadian, but they have the flag of Canada. Probably because Canada is not requiring much from these companies. So in a way, what has to be done, and I hope, well, we've been trying not only the Bishops' Conference of Canada, but also Development and Peace, Caritas Canada, and other NGOs have been trying to get an ombudsperson, a person which would be capable, according to the law, to investigate what these companies are doing in other countries. Is it in line with what a Canadian company should be doing, respecting the rights of the people, respecting the land and everything? But up to now, I would say we haven't been able to get this ombudsperson. We were given one, but with no power to investigate, no power to bring these companies and to require from them, you know, adjustments and so on.
And that was Bishop Lionel Gendron of Saint-Jean-Longueuil speaking there with Christopher Wells at the Synod for the Amazon. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, you can visit our website. You can catch our updates on Facebook and on Twitter. My thanks go to Joe Mauriello in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.